Great. I'm just sitting down this afternoon with Joe. Thanks for being here and
Thank
for
you.
agreeing to share your story with us.
Thank
Just to get started, when did you first get involved with the gay community or start engaging with gay life?
1984-5. Yeah, I was like 17, and I played the gay Bible League. So I lied about my age, but it could be 19, but I said I was 19, so I was only 18, so.
And that was here in Vancouver.
Yeah.
What did the community look like at the time, back in the early 80s?
There was no there was only a small youth group, and the sports teams were starting to form, and there was no gay committee until, I think, maybe after the gay games in 90. That's when we had more sports and groups.
So there wasn't as much of a community in at that time in the early 80s.
I mean, no, there was bars, but I didn't go, like, I didn't drink. But I know that back then there was like a bar scene in the early 70s, 80s. There was probably a bar scene and maybe the bathhouse scene, but I wasn't into that.
Just because you didn't like drinking and okay.
No.
Interesting. Any other thoughts on what the community looked like when you were coming out?
Sorry, it's mostly all white men. So, yeah, I see a lot of, I see, like, after the gay games in Vancouver, I see more, lot more non-gay white people coming out.
So was it kind of challenging coming out into the community as someone who wasn't white at the time?
Not really. I have some, I met some friends, I met some people before. I met some people before I played volleyball, and they welcomed me. There was like a couple of non-white people there, so lots of like white and Asian couples.
So it wasn't too bad.
No.
And when did you first hear about HIV? Do you remember when that was?
In high school, 1980, I think grade 8, 1981, I heard there was a gay counselor somewhere in the States. So I was grade 8, and I knew I was gay, but I didn't want to come out yet. So I was 1981 when I saw the news, and
How did that make you feel when you first were hearing about that? How did you kind of respond to that?
I was scared at first, maybe because if I was to come out, and if I was to come out, I might get infected.
So it kind of scared you into the closet kind of thing, or?
Yeah, it's getting me back in the closet until grade 11.
And when you started engaging in the community in those early years, was there more information out there in the community as well?
Yeah, there was a doctor who plays volleyball, and every week he brings free condoms and free lube. So, and he always every week tell people to play safe, so, or
So safe sex was something that people were talking about a lot,
yeah.
and that was influencing people's behaviors. Interesting. Were there any other sources of information that you used in the 80s besides the news?
I joined the gay and lesbian youth group in 1996, after no, grade 12. There was like a gay and lesbian center on Seymour Street. And I called their hotline because I like, sorry. Like every time I meet someone, day after I call them to see if I have safe sex or not. So I was quite concerned about what I did with the guy the night before.
So that was something that was like influencing your behavior and how did HIV start to kind of show up within the community? What did that look like?
I think like there were a lot more, there were a lot of gay men who were having the symptom of being positive, like in the a lot of gay men dying like after a month of being diagnosed.
And that was happening a lot.
Yeah, because at volleyball every week we hear someone dying or someone, so it was sort of scary for me.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, no kidding. How do you know how did you see how the medical system was kind of responding to the epidemic in the early years?
Not really.
No.
I didn't get involved with the gay community, the ASO until I was diagnosed in 97. So I was not involved with the medical, but I see people dying, or I've been going to their sub-regional, their funerals a lot.
And when you got diagnosed, which ASOs did you get involved with?
Actually, I didn't. I was I moved out of town for about six months, so I was in denial. But then, 1998, I came back to Vancouver, and I went to East Vancouver. And part of them. Peter Way. After I was diagnosed, I was lucky to find a doctor right away. So I was told that I was HIV positive in a walk-in clinic. So there were lots of stuff. There were a lot of stuff in the room that I could have harmed myself, but I didn't. So I called the first doctor on the list, and he let me see him the next day. So.
And he got you hooked up with some support, or?
Yeah, some support, and when I was diagnosed, I called my friends, and they all came that night, and we made plans of what we're gonna do tomorrow, like day after. So we did that. We went to all the East Vancouver and Positive Living. And get my doctor to get me to see Dr. Montana.
And did you start treatment pretty quickly, or was that not something that you did initially?
I didn't start right away because I thought I was healthy, but I started in 2001.
So you said that you got involved a little bit with AIDS Vancouver and PWA.
Yeah.
What were those organizations doing at the time?
East Vancouver was probably for the groceries and getting on welfare, disability part. And Positive Living was for positive members to get support. Like I went to their weekly groups. And I got some services from someone from there was a peer counselor. So I met this person. So wherever I want to talk, I see her. So it helped me out of it.
So it was like more of a like pure yeah. or emotional kind of support.
Yeah.
Social support.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot.
Yeah.
Did you see how the government was responding to the epidemic at all? Or any memories of how that was working at the time?
I remember seeing that the then Premier Venison wanted to lock up all the positive people in the island. And I saw a picture of a member lying down in front of his wife. So.
Oh, like an activist or?
Yeah.
How did that make you feel, that activism?
That was when, before I was down north, and I was saying that's that I'm glad there's someone out there who fought for the rights. Hmm.
But you didn't get involved in that type of activism or anything like that? Mm. Was there a, I mean, that seems kind of like homophobia, the whole idea of sending people to the island.
Yeah.
Was that pretty common at the time?
Well, I think after the premier, he was a conservative, so he was not all there. Mm-hmm.
And do you remember, was there a lot of stigma in the 80s around HIV?
That it was a gay man disease. And all gay men deserve to die. So, so it wasn't that good.
Was any of that stigma? Did any of that stigma exist within the gay community as well, like towards HIV positive people?
Yeah. I think it's like now lots of gay men who are not positive, they are scared of people who are positive. But it's like now and it's like back then.
Has the stigma changed a lot?
No, it's still happening, I think. Yeah.
Any thoughts on how the public responded to the epidemic, so outside of the gay community?
I knew my mom and dad would have been upset if I came out too early. And they think I might die because of what was happening. So I didn't come out until grade 1989.
Mm-hmm. And how was coming out for you? Was that a big challenge?
I couldn't go out of the bar because I have a curfew. I was like back then, so so after one night, I guess I met a guy. I went home with him. And then the next day I went home and I got a pack on my bags and I ran me from home. Because my brother and sister were not being nice to me and I I didn't feel safe, so I ran away from home. Moved to West End with a guy, which was a mistake, but it helped me get out there.
So that's kind of how you started to get connected to some people, other people in the gay community?
Yeah.
How has your perspective on HIV changed over time? So thinking about what HIV maybe meant in the 80s and what HIV means to you now and in the present.
I think it helped save my life because before Donald's, I was out every night. And I had to have sex every night. So when I was Donald's in 97, I changed my lifestyle. I was more aware of my health and so I didn't have to have sex every night. I was sort of like choosy, not choosy, but not. I was planning for the right time to have sex again. So
you changed a lot of your kind of behavior afterwards and focused more on your health. How do you think the epidemic changed the gay community in Vancouver?
I think the early 60s and early 70s, there was a lot more big community here. And there were lots of bars and stuff. And now there's like maybe less bars but more community outside of the West End, like the West and Surrey and Burnaby. Mm-hmm. I think it's still a line between gay men who are not positive and negative men.
So there's still some
stigma.
Stigma. Yeah. And thinking about the community kind of broadening to be outside of the West End, do you think HIV played a role in that?
I think probably the rent here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a cheap place to live.
No.
That's for sure.
No.
And you started using some of the services at some of these ASOs. Did you ever get involved in like volunteering with any of these organizations? Or
yes.
So what kind of work did you do there?
I started with the East Vancouver Grocery. So I've been there for over 30 years, the volunteering with the grocery.
Wow.
And I joined Positive Living. I volunteer there. And this is my 10th year on the board of Positive Living.
Wow.
So I give back to them because they helped me a lot. Hmm.
Has that community or has that organization changed a lot in the years that you've been there?
Positive Living is not more, it's not gay anymore, it's more diverse people. And the grocery is more, it's a mixture of people. Mixture.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't get involved with any of those organizations before your diagnosis, right? Okay. Just wanted to clarify that. Do you have any advice for healthcare professionals based on your experience as a long-term survivor?
I think the person who gave me my diagnosis, she was new. But I think right now all the doctors or nurses are now trained to help deal with people who are positive. Mm-hmm. And I think they should probably take more time with the patient instead of seeing them one after another. Mm-hmm. Let the patient have more time with the doctor.
And do you have any advice for future generations who may not have experienced the epidemic? So, for instance, younger gay men, or people who are maybe newly diagnosed?
Love yourself. Get help. Start treatment. Play safe. And found some good friends and groups to help you out.
Is that where you kind of got most of your support from in those early years, from a group of friends?
My friend.
Is there anything else that I haven't had a chance to ask you or that you wanted to expand upon? In regards to your story or your experiences?
Well, I think because I'm also gay Asian and I'm positive, that I have a double stigma with the gay community. And a lot of gay men out there know me because I'm the Asian poster boy. Hmm. At first, I was not happy with that, but then a lot of Asian people saw my poster and they all came up to help. So I felt glad that I was out there to help them.
So you kind of played a bit of an advocacy role as a figure in that sense?
Yeah.
Do you feel like race is still a big issue within the gay community?
Yeah. Especially the gay ads, like some people say no Asian please, so I think I found that really quite racist.
Absolutely. And did that, pardon me, did that impact your experience of the epidemic at all?
Not really, because I didn't let that stop me from being gay and being happy and finding someone.
You kind of overlooked, or you moved past that.
Yeah. Because it's, in my view, it's a person's bad luck if they don't want to get to know me better.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Anything else that you wanted to touch on that we haven't had a chance to ask you or expand upon?
No.
Well, then I think I'll just say thank you again, and thanks for sharing your story.
So sorry about my snorting, so I was embarrassed.
Oh, no, don't worry. Yeah, I'm just going to stop these recordings for now.